Welcome to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
It's our back to school episode. This week, we're joined by OG FOP and national treasure, Sarah Kersey, a UCLA PhD and godmother to my handsome son. We'll talk about how to kick off the new school year on the right foot with routines built for success. We'll also recap Tommy's epic fishing trip, as well as my recent road trip to Utah. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
James Brown dead?
I don't think so. I think he came back to life and wrote that intro just for us.
I mean, like, I feel like it's like an honor of James Brown.
I should just say that I got that music off a website and it was free, but it said, you know, if you could just tag the guy and all this stuff. So I've been emailing this guy. He never gets back to me. I'm like, dude, you're on a hit podcast. I just want to be able to mention your name. I don't know his real name.
I mean, I feel like, is Tina Turner dead?
Tina Turner's alive and well. We're trying to get her for the pod.
Okay. I mean, like, I feel
I don't know if she's relevant for the pod.
I feel like they're going to be live here soon.
Yeah. We're going to have a
background dancers and everything.
I was talking to Robbie at Grunion's today about doing the Dan Weinstein episode next month at Grunion's. Oh, so tasty. Hamming it up. And how fun would it be to have a live funk band doing the intro?
I mean, we should just shoot. I mean, we should go for ridiculous stuff.
That would be ridiculous.
We need to have John Mayer just open up for us.
Yeah, just hold on. Let me check my budget.
Let's just get his guitar riffs going. I think you might
need another sponsor for that.
We might need a big, no offense to Brooke, we might need a bigger sponsor if we're going to have pay John Mayer to play for 13 seconds.
You just never know.
That's how we do. Tommy.
Well, I think we're going to go right into our 3 W's, aren't we, Chris? Where you going? What you doing? What you excited about? Brought to you at Postal.io. Hey, dads. What's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? But of course, sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal's offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. If you don't know what CRM is, go Google that. Okay? Learn more and get a free trial at Postal.io/dads. You're excited. I could see it in your eyes right now. What's going on here?
I mean, the main thing, and it's one of the reasons we're doing this episode, kids go back to school this week, Wednesday. I think both our kids go back to school. And
that's why you're excited?
I cannot tell you. I love my kids. I think we all know this. Can't wait. I need a little routine. Sarah and I are talking about it on Saturday. I love my kids. Let's get up before, let's say, 8:30. Get them up at 6:30. Feed them out the door. Go learn and stuff. I'll see you at 3. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
Man, let me tell you, I'm exhausted and excited because I think I'm finally recovered from my epic fishing trip.
No, this is what everybody wants to hear, Tommy. I've heard stories from everybody as I've been running in them the last week, but it sounds like it was, how many fish did we catch?
Our boat caught 361 fish in 2 days, but the big thing was we caught 357 in 1 day.
Wow. And that's so with, you had 100 guys on this boat, right?
Nope, there's only 28 dads.
What?
28 dads.
That seems mathematically impossible.
I mean, like when myself and Mike Kersey are bringing home 70 pounds of fish, it was a good trip.
Yeah.
Because we're not the best anglers, but we try, and the boat were just jumping in they were just jumping in practically. It was crazy. We went 135 miles south out of Newport into Ensenada waters. We left at 9 o'clock at night, Sunday night. We got all of a sudden, you know, we're partying. We're having a good time. We're having GTs everywhere on the boat. GTs are happening. You know, Bill's got his music going. Of course, playing cards and three tables. Absolutely. You know.
There's three tables on that boat?
Well, there's four. There's four tables. But one table is just like music, I think.
Right,
there's four in the upper deck right there.
Row upstairs, right.
Yeah, and so we party hard on the way out. And then next thing you know, it's 6 a.m., the boat stops, and then, okay, guys, they're 150 feet below you. And then all of a sudden, everyone starts running out to the deck and putting on sardines. And then we caught a school Dorado. And, like, immediately,
and this is at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, immediately, like, I caught, like, 6 Dorado, and, like, I was, like, still, like, blurry-eyed and everything. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And, I mean, that just started off. It kicked off. We got, like, 47 fish immediately in the first hour. And then some yellowtail. And then we, you know, fish the kelp patties, and then all of a sudden, right around dusk, in the middle of, like, the ocean, open waters, mind you, our captain, Captain Jeff of the Thunderbird, goes, All right, we're just going to throw out some bait. There's nothing here right now, but you never know what could happen. And he threw out a bunch of sardines. He's like, bait ball underneath the boat. Put him in. And so, like, right there, we had, I think, a school of hundreds of yellowtail below us. And you literally saw the bait hit the water, and then a yellowtail just came out of nowhere and just gobbled it up. Like, literally less than 5 seconds, you had a fish on that you were now reeling 20 minutes to take in. It was unbelievable, exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, I caught six of them, and they were big boys, too. 30 to 35-pound yellowtails that give you a fight. I thought I caught, like, Moby Dick down there.
Yeah.
I swear to God, you never know.
Now, you're not fighting the fish right away, right? You're letting
you gotta completely.
Let it swim.
Like, you're going, bzzz. Right. You're like, oh my God, I got a tuna.
But you got to let them run, right?
Because the
first year I did it, they didn't tell me that, and yep. I thought my arm was going to fall.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were a couple times I'm like, hey, deckhand, will you mind reeling this in right now? Yeah. I'm fucking tired. But it was great. It was so great that we had so many fish that we knew that everyone was going to take home abundance of fish.
Yeah.
And to the point where, you know, they had to step on the fish. I mean, we caught a marlin. John Kim caught a marlin.
I saw that picture. Unbelievable.
I mean, 140-pound marlin. It was unbelievable. Just a great trip. No D-bags on this trip. It was just completely unbelievably awesome.
Yeah.
It was just
everyone. Well, you do a good job of curating.
It was great. I mean, and I would say it's much better than last year. So if you could even top that, we did with fish and great people again. Mm-hmm. The bar is set really high for next year. I mean, we already booked it for 2023. So we'll see what happens, but hopefully you can come make a comeback. I mean, people were asking, like, oh my God.
I'm taking this a little bit personally.
Yeah,
right
well,
now.
Dude, listen, a lot of the FOPs flew out here, and they're wondering, like, if they were going to meet Chris Parrish. And
yeah.
You ghosted them. They're kind of like,
well, I didn't really ghost them. I had quite a weekend. Utah, we drove up to Park City, which I'd been to once before.
Beautiful place.
I would say last time I went was only for a couple of days. I didn't put a lot of thought into it, so I was kind of whatever. And then you head on to Jackson and you're up to Glacier, and it's so gorgeous. But. You know, we put some more thought into it this time. We stayed with some friends for 4 days in this new development called the Pendry, which is in the canyons. And we went on a raft.
Nice.
And my buddy John Sedbury, friend of the pod, has a place up there. He took us out on the boat. So the kids got up on water skis and went to Olympic Park, did some zip lining.
There you go. That's exciting.
That was super fun. And there's like an obstacle course and a little bit nerve wracking, pretty high up.
Yeah.
So Vetter got nervous and shut down the whole operation for about 20 minutes.
The Wasatch Mountains.
Yeah. Is that what they're called?
Yep.
Yeah. And it was a fun little trip.
It's a great place when you get out of the bubble.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting out of the bubble, let's talk about the bubble we're going back into right here, which I'm extremely excited about. Back to school.
Oh.
I mean, so.
What a glorious week.
You know, I think it was, we were on the beach, and we were on Marine Street Beach in Manhattan Beach, and I believe Dr. Kersey, you know, we're sitting there enjoying the sun underneath the cabana.
The cabana,
that's
yep.
right. And then we're like, you know, oh man, we talked about, okay, fall's coming up, back to school. And we're like, I think you're like, let's talk about back to school.
Let's
I'm
do
like,
it.
That'd be a great
yeah.
podcast, especially for dads. Like,
yeah.
okay, here we are. I just did my obligatory, you know, okay, last summer shindig. We went to Disneyland today. So I just literally got
you
off.
You came in hot.
Came in hot. You know, the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. So we did Disneyland
for the cash registers, am I right?
For their last hurrah. Place is crazy. But anyway.
It was crowded today?
Extremely crowded.
Yeah.
Last year, COVID was still kind of lingering.
Yeah.
Today, crowded. I'm like, wait, I thought like the 2 days before school starts, most townships and places in SoCal, it's kind of dead. It was packed today.
Wow.
I was kind of angry about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did it for the kids.
Mm.
And, you know. We did both sides today, so I'm very happy about that. But that was it. And then now we're getting them into the mindset, okay, you can sleep in one more day tomorrow, and that's
yeah.
it. And then you got to get up early again. Like,
yeah, we're actually doing a practice run tonight
because
she slept till 10 o'clock today.
Lainey. 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
So that was her last sleep.
I mean, it was kind of out of nowhere. I didn't feel very good yesterday, so I went to bed early. Amy was in charge. They're usually up till, you know, 2 in the morning when that happens. But she slept till 10. I said, look. Going to bed early tonight, getting up early tomorrow. Dress rehearsal. Can't be dealing with this for the first
right.
day on Wednesday. Too big of a day.
Let's have the one and only, our favorite FOP, Dr. Sarah Kersey's in the house.
Return.
Hey!
It's so nice to be back here. Thank you for the invitation. And of course, since it's back to school season, I brought you presents. Mystery gifts.
This with is, a this ribbon. Is amazing.
So we are going to do some unboxing. So
is
I'm handing Tommy a bag, and I'm handing Chris a bag.
I can already tell this is thousands
of dollars. So we're going to narrate because if we are doing a back-to-school episode, you both need school supplies.
We do need school supplies.
And not just any school supplies, but you need retro school supplies that bring back the joy that you felt when you were in eighth years old in third grade.
Mechanical pencil.
Awesome.
Not just any mechanical pencils. Those are the ones with the lead that shove up the bottom.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. Amazing.
Remember those?
I do remember these.
Oh my gosh.
This is huge. I can never find a pencil in my house.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. Mr. Sketch scented
markers.
That is awesome. Scented markers.
Oh my god.
I got some.
How many brain cells did we lose to these?
Ooh. Yep. Oh, with the eraser on these. Wow.
The mechanical pencil.
Oh wait, timeout.
And then smelly markers.
And then the best pen ever invented, the Bic four color. Red, green, blue, and black.
You know it, with the blue on the bottom and the white on the top.
Let me switch that to red. Someone's in trouble.
That's right. I'm taking notes.
There we go.
This is great.
What else?
Oh, my gosh.
What else?
If, for those who don't know that sound, that is a...
You got to be kidding me.
A little Velcro Trapper Keeper.
Oh, my God. I forgot
the original Mead where you get to fold everything in there. Oh, my... Oh, man. And get the... Oh, this is amazing.
I wish this thing had a multiplication table.
This is going to be great.
Let me just open
it
up and see.
It's going to be great for like coaching and everything this year.
There you go.
This is amazing, Sarah.
The clipboard.
Sarah, you're the best.
You know, we can't have back to school without some school supplies because...
Lainey's going to steal this in 2 seconds.
It's the best part.
That is the best part. You are the best part of this pod.
I should have put some Post-it notes in there, too, because that is personally my favorite school supply.
I didn't have that when I was a kid. This is great.
This.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is awesome.
You're welcome.
Sarah, you know, a big thing about going back to school is that, like, you know, dads, we kind of usually stay out of the way of our wives. We let them kind of order all the school supplies. But how can dads be more involved in back to school, getting the kids excited, the relationship of, like, finding out who the new teacher is, which we all just found out? How can we get them excited to find out what's going to happen for this year, get them ready, our kids ready, get themselves mentally prepared? And not only that, I think you touched on a good point that you talked about in the pre-production meeting, is that, like, the teacher relationship with the student and the parents to get them focused on helping our kids get to that next level.
Right.
What can they do?
So we think about when you go through your day, there are three 30-second intervals that are probably the most important part of the relationship that you have with your child. Mm. It's the first 30 seconds when you see them wake up in the morning.
Hmm.
It's the first 30 seconds when they come in the door at the end of the school day.
Okay. Wow.
And it's the last 30 seconds before they go to bed.
Wow.
So if you really think about making those three 30-second intervals about joy and connection and love, even when you're not feeling it, that's going to make a difference in how your child shows up at school.
Really?
Because if they have a morning filled with love and care, and even in the midst of the busyness of getting out the day, getting out of the door, they're going to feel secure and ready for the day, right? I think that when a lot of times we're in the hustle and bustle and getting ready in the morning, we don't remember that 30 seconds is about connection. Good morning. How are you doing? I love you. I'm so happy to see you, right? Sometimes at 3 o'clock when you've had a really busy day at work and you see your child come home from school or you pick them up and they're upset and you're super busy, you might still be on a call doing 100 million other things in your head. To take 30 seconds and connect with your child. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so glad that we could be together this afternoon. What do you want to do this afternoon? Did you have a good day, right? We can talk about all those questions. And then the last 30 seconds before they go to bed, I love you. I'm so happy that I'm your dad. I can't wait till see you in the morning. We're going to have a great day tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? Like, those three moments can transform relationships. So if you really think about greeting them in the morning, greeting them after school, and helping them have a moment before they go to sleep, I think that is something that could be really important in the relationship with your child.
What does that do for the perspective from the child to the parent?
it helps the kids feel connected. It helps the kids feel secure. It helps them feel calm and peaceful. And it helps them feel like they're important. Because you have a one-on-one moment with them where you're acknowledging who they are and how important they are to you in your life. Right. And that's all we want to feel. We want to feel connected. We want to feel like we are important to people. We want to feel like we're seen. Right. And all those moments of connection help those transition periods, the transition from school, from home to school, the transition from school back to home, and then the transition from home to sleep.
I mean, Amy and I were on a walk today, and we were just talking about myself specifically, where I find myself turning into like a drill sergeant in the morning sometimes because everybody's dragging ass. And it's really...
Good point.
It's their kids. So like, what do I do to make it so we're not dragging ass?
Right.
Maybe,
right.
You know, a lot of it is like, okay, I love to have coffee for a half hour in the morning by myself, but maybe just for a couple weeks, I shorten that by 10 minutes. Give them that 10 minutes because I do know this, that a lot of times I'm just drill sergeanting them into the car and then they're stressed and then
right.
I get them to school and it's like, all right, go.
Right.
But like in the whole scheme of things, if they're two minutes late, it doesn't matter. What matters is how do they feel about me in the mornings when you were a kid?
Morning success begins the night before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thinking about, you know, the best thing that you could do is print your child's schedule. If you print your child's schedule and hang it somewhere prominent in your refrigerator, you know, whatever, wherever you hang things to see every day, you can look at the schedule and you can say, okay, you have PE tomorrow. Let's make sure those PE clothes, get your PE clothes and lay them out. You have library tomorrow. Do you have your library books gathered? Is your homework done? Are all the permission slips signed? Is your backpack together? Do you know what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow? Are those non-perishable things already in your lunchbox? Is your snack already? Is your water bottle found and set out? Do you know where your shoes are? Right? If you stop your evening about 30 minutes before you know your kids are going to start brushing their teeth and get ready for their night routine, take those 30 minutes and go through the schedule of the day. Make sure your child has what they need. Set it aside. Pick out an outfit. Make sure the uniforms are together.
So include them during this.
They
just
should,
don't do it yourself.
Yes. Don't do it yourself.
Because that's what a lot
your
of parents, I feel like, we take on the
stuff.
Right, that we don't want to do it.
Or exactly, my wife will do it all, and I will not know. And then I'm playing like, what have I got to do? And then I'm stressed because I didn't plan on that. And so I need to know
and
that schedule, too.
It depends on how old your kids are. They can totally do it themselves, right? And then you check it. Right. So they do it and then they tell you you're finished and you can go over and you can say, you know, I'm noticing they don't have any socks out yet, or I'm noticing that you don't have the water bottle. Where's your water bottle? Did you leave it at school? Right.
See, I like to plan the night before, even like what they wear.
Yep.
But I don't know if my kids enjoy doing that. I think they get
some. Doesn't matter if they enjoy it. It's going to be part of your evening routine.
Yeah.
You're going to have dinner, you're going to finish homework, you're going to have whatever downtime, then you're going to get ready for the next day. Pajamas, books,
boom,
Teeth brush, all of it. So it's a part of your day that you don't have to enjoy, but you need to do it.
Structure.
Because it makes your morning so much better.
Right.
To say, okay, everything is there, everything together, and when your brain cells aren't quite firing yet because you don't have enough caffeine, because you haven't had enough sleep, you're already stressed about what you're doing that day, you don't have to remember all the little things.
Right.
Like it's already done.
I mean, Lainey, you know, that's a good point because she'll get up and sort of drag an ass a bit in the morning and then be like, oh shit, I have soccer at 5. And it's not like she's not going to get to soccer. It's just like mentally she didn't know that she did. So then she's like, okay, well, when do I get my 20 minutes of downtime, right? And the boy is very good at asking questions of like, okay, well, we're going to do this. When's my slot to do whatever? Like he thinks that way. She's like me. She doesn't think that way. So that's a good point.
It really is helpful to add that.
Success for today starts with the
night before.
Yep. I love that.
Yep.
You talked about the first 30 seconds in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to have you specifically talk to like myself and Chris and dads, because I think Chris nailed it when he said, I feel like more of a drill sergeant, which I do. And I would probably be like, okay, I see one of them walking down. Grayson's usually coming down already dressed for school that day. Peyton's not. So I'm like immediately... I know she has to go back up eventually and change. And when she does that, I need to brush her teeth. But let me get you your food going and everything. And I definitely need to start with, like, I love you. I'm so happy to see you today. You
good
know,
morning. How
good
did
morning.
You sleep?
How'd you sleep?
It's going to be a great day. Yeah.
I need to say all
and
that.
And then you can be a drill sergeant the next 30 seconds. You know, and I'm not saying that the morning doesn't have some drill sergeant in it, because eventually we all have to get in the car by whatever time we have to get in the car.
Sure.
But I'm saying the very first moment that you see your child in the morning, it's all love and connection. 30 seconds. And then you can say, Grayson, I'm so happy to see you this morning. Did you sleep well? How are you doing? You know.
Yeah.
What do you want for breakfast?
What do you want for breakfast? Right. It's going to
be a great day. What the fuck is taking you so long? They're eating?
Do you know what you're ordering for lunch today? You can't wear that. Oh, my gosh.
Don't worry. No, the school will wait for you.
Green doesn't
Let's just
go
get there when you're
red.
Red.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, take a breath.
Yeah.
Reestablish the connection. Everything will go much smoother. Because I guarantee what you're going to get is, I love you too, Daddy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to see you. Then they're going to start asking you, how did you sleep? How was your day? What do you
Sarah,
have
you're getting
going
a little ahead of yourself there.
Right?
I don't think my kids are going to ask me that.
I don't think I've ever heard your kids say they love you.
Yeah. Well, no, they always say they love me. Yeah, kidding. Yeah. They just don't ask me how I slept.
That's true.
But they're like, Dad, why do you go to bed at 8:30?
Stress out because you're always late.
I love that. That's the setting a foundation of a great back to school start every day like that. And I actually think that's going to be very beneficial to print out the week's schedule.
Yeah.
And I need to go in there and literally put in, because like now there's like after school, you know, activities where it, like some are, you know, it's like you have to know when to pick up one versus the other and what they have going on that week. Because it's all going to start here where all of a sudden school comes back. Then the after school activities come back and then the dance and the soccer and the football and the baseball and basketball. And Johnny's going here and there. And there's a lot.
The nice thing about printing the schedule is it also can act as prompts for you to get your kids to talk to you about what happened during the day. Because a lot of times you're sitting around the dinner table or you're on the ride home from school and you say, how was your day? And the kids are like, eh. What did you do in school? Eh.
Right.
You don't really get any response.
You don't.
But you can use that schedule to your advantage to get information out of your students, right? So if you know that they had art that day, you can say, what did you do in art today? Did you paint? Did you draw? Right? You can say, you went to the library today. What did you pick out? Right? You can use that schedule to ask them questions that can start them talking. And then once they start talking, then you just ask follow-up questions and they can tell you more. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
So if you have a hard time getting information about the day,
always try
to use the schedule and ask them something about their day. What did you have for lunch? Who did you play with on the playground during recess, right? Any of those kinds of questions.
Did you save any orange chicken for Daddy?
Yeah. Sometimes I look at that lunch menu, I'm like, I need some of that.
I said that too. I'm like, are you kidding me? A crunchy taco?
Oh, God.
I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to just swing by lunchtime.
Grayson forgot his book. Yeah. Forgot his Trapper Keeper.
A good organization is definitely beneficial across the board.
And it's interesting, Tommy, because you brought up the example of a lot of the dads are coaches after school.
Right.
And I hope that dads are also taking the opportunity to volunteer for things during the day. There are so many kids that can benefit from having more men in the schools during the day.
Yep.
And there are so many volunteer opportunities that could fit anybody's schedule, from just a one-time thing if you're traveling all the time to something more consistent that can work in your schedule. Talk to your child's teacher and figure out, what does the school need that I could do during the day to help them, not necessarily just being coaches. Can you volunteer to read in classrooms or libraries? Can you help with like pick up and drop off carpool? Can you, you know, a lot of the times the men think that it's up to the women to come to the school and do all the things.
Yeah.
But kids need to see their dads at school too.
That's a great point.
And so if you have the opportunity to volunteer for something, try to fit it in your schedule, because it will benefit you and it will benefit all the kids.
Yeah, I don't toot my own horn very often, but they do joke at Martyrs that I never leave, because I take any volunteer opportunity I can. I'm going to be doing STEM all year.
Yep.
Obviously, I manage run club and stuff, but it's just an opportunity to kind of like check in on your kids and sort of see what some of the other kids are doing too. You know, and most of them are super nice. Hey, Mr. Parrish, all that stuff. But, you know, there's a finite amount of time where they're going to be happy to see me showing up. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Lainey's still, she's starting sixth grade. Hopefully, she's still excited to see me when I roll in. But I do think that's important. That's a great point.
That's awesome.
You also mentioned the after school hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever had this experience when your kids come home and they're just jerks after school. Right?
Oh, of course.
They have a tantrum. Yep. They talk back. They just can't get themselves together for whatever reason, right?
Something
after
happened.
School time sometimes is just so right. difficult.
They don't want
kids.
To talk to you. Right. They're quick with yep. their responses.
Yep. There is a name for this. It's called restraint collapse. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
So here's the point. Kids have to, just like we do when we go into our workplaces, we put on our work persona, right? And kids put on their school person persona. And they have to perform all day and do all the things that the teachers are, they have to sit in their desks, they have to do their work, they have to raise their hand, they have to do all the things as best they can, right? And then when they come home, the exhaustion from all of the things that they've had to do all day, they get to their safe space, which is you, which is their homes, and they completely lose their shit.
Yeah.
Right. Restraint collapse. They are literally falling apart
exhausted.
Because we have demanded that they keep it together
abide,
all day long.
Right,
and
rules.
Adults do the same thing.
Oh, always.
You know, sure. doom scrolling at the end of the day, not going to bed because, you know, you want to stay up and have that quiet time or whatnot, like tuning your partner out because you just need some of that. Like, we do it too, right? So that's something that in a lot of the parenting stuff that I've been reading, all the research, that's kind of the new term, restraint collapse. So when you see your kids melting down, it's not because they're jerks. It's because their brains are switching from school mode to home mode, and they don't know how to deal with
right.
all of the emotions and what they've had to be doing all day long. And so they just let it go.
I mean, that's a super right? famous thing in movies and TV shows and stuff where one spouse gets home from work and the other one's been home all day and you walk into a buzzsaw and you're like, I just need like 10 minutes.
Yep.
I can't deal with this right
yep.
now. Sort
I
of
just
thing.
Need to decompress. So yeah. connect with your kids, offer them food, you
yeah.
know, give them a little bit of downtime before they have to do the next thing.
Right.
Right.
That's how you deal with a restraint collapse.
Yeah.
As soon as they come in, they're decompressing.
As soon as they
come they
in,
need to just
they're
unwind.
Angry. They need to unwind. And you know your child best. Does your child need to unwind with a book? Do they need to unwind with some uninterrupted playtime? Do they need to unwind, you know, just to sit and cuddle with you, right, depending on how old they might be? So
that's great.
Yeah.
And that's good for us to observe that and be aware of that.
That it's normal.
It's
normal. It's not a sign that your child is poorly behaved. It's not a sign of your parenting. It's a normal thing that happens all day long when you're asked to perform in certain ways, and then you get back to your safe space, and you lose it.
That's great.
That's good. I was over at your house Saturday picking up a suit for Vetter. I should point out that this is second grade, so Mike and Sarah get to have their godchild's baptism. No, baptism, Jesus.
First communion
in May. I'm Episcopalian. Anyway, one of the things I brought up was just talking about that and like, what do I do with the kids? And it's...
We were talking about iPads.
Yeah.
Right? And why when you ask your kids to get off their iPads or stop their shows, then they immediately act like jerks afterwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And why does that happen?
Yes.
And the reason why that happens is because most of the time when you have them get off their shows or their iPads or their video games, you're asking them to do something unpleasant.
Right.
So, of course, they're going to be jerks about it because you're saying, okay, show's over. Now it's time to take out the trash. Show's over. Now it's time to do your homework. Right? Like, of course, they're going to be jerks about it because who wants to go from something really fun and enjoyable to a task that, like, is really crummy?
Yeah.
You know? Same with adults. Like, if you are doing something pleasurable and then, you know, Amy or Don would say, can you help me with this, like, unhappy task?
Right.
You're not going to be like, okay, of course I will, and be super
Sounds
happy
great.
About it, right? Like, I mean, you might fake that,
right,
but
right.
underneath your breath.
Let's go have a crucial conversation with Grayson about something.
Right, exactly,
right.
exactly. So the reason why your kids are jerks after they get off their iPads
right.
is because you're asking them to do something that sucks, right? So build in a transition period of, okay, let's get off the tablet. Now let's maybe you and I play a quick card game or whatnot. Like, let's just do something away from the screen, but not necessarily super unpleasant.
You're not mowing the lawn.
And then let's transition into what might be unpleasant, the homework, the chores, whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
So something buffer that's also enjoyable between the screen and the unpleasant thing that's next.
Let's go have a bowl of ice cream.
I mean,
that's enjoyable too.
Can we have ice cream and do homework at the same time, like that?
Like, oh yeah, since we're having some coffee ice cream here, that's my favorite. Or cookies and cream.
Man, Grace loves homework.
Let's break out your homework.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I love it.
Let's do it.
Okay, buffer transition after iPad. Note to self, because I'm like, immediately, again, I'm like,
it's just like,
get off the iPad and get up there and brush those chompas.
No, it's going to be like, okay, Grayson, in 5 minutes, we're going to be done with iPad, and then you and I are going to play a quick round of Uno, and then it's going to be time for bed, right? So he knows, you give him a warning when the time is going to be up, then in 5 minutes, the time is up, and then the two of you have a little moment of connection, and then you transition him into the next thing.
Love it. I'm doing it all wrong.
This is great. No, this is how we better ourselves.
It's true.
This is what it's all about.
This is what makes us great.
This is absolutely huge.
Wanting to learn.
Okay, so we are preparing for the week. How do we get our teacher to understand their faults or where we think they can use improvement? Focus is a big one. I know it's really hard, especially in this generation. I feel like it's hard to get focus, especially in the classrooms and stuff.
So parent-teacher communication is really important, especially because it's such a vital way to communicate between home and school. And so at the beginning of the year, if you can reach out to your child's teacher and introduce yourself and say, you know, Grayson came home from school today, so excited about such and such. I'm really looking forward to working with you this year. Here's my number if you need anything. See ya. That open line of communication built on something positive will help you down the road if you need to talk to them about something that you're concerned about, something that might have happened or a question that you have, right? To only wait until you have a question or a problem really escalates a situation that doesn't necessarily need to be escalated. But at the beginning of the year, if you can contact a teacher and say, we're so excited. You know, here's how you can contact me best.
Because our teacher already did that. They already reached out and said everything about them.
Right.
And here's my cell phone, email, everything if you have any questions. So when you take that mass email like everyone's BCC'd on, that's when you follow up with your partner. Like, so that way I'd follow up with Dawn and be like, hey, thank you so much. We look forward to meeting you.
Exactly.
And here's our numbers in case like that. So that way
exactly. She
sees us both reaching back out.
Right.
So that's a good opportunity for us that we have to respond to that.
Second thing is if you do have a question or a concern, you always should go to the teacher first.
Okay.
No matter how challenging the situation is, if you go over the teacher's head, they're going to immediately say, have you talked to the teacher?
Right.
You should always try to figure it out with the teacher first before you elevate whatever concern you have to a vice principal, a supervisor, a coach, like whatever it is. So that's kind of the next thing to think about is if you do have a concern, bring it up with the child's teacher. And when you do bring it up with the child's teacher, you want to think about what we call a compliment sandwich. So you want to say, I'm noticing that Grayson really loves your reading class. When he came home the other day, I was worried about the grade that he got on this test. Can we schedule a meeting to talk about it, right? You're making a connection, you're asking a question, and then you're figuring out when the follow-up is, right? So if you immediately come in guns blazing, you're just going to get super defensive on both sides. And on the flip side, when your child's teacher comes to you and says, I have a problem with something that Lainey did, you're automatically going to be really defensive. Because that's what we do as parents.
Guards up.
Right? Guards up. Our first instinct instead should be to ask questions, to be curious, to figure out the extent of the problem, examples about what's happening, try to figure out more information so that you can address the problem rather than just defending it,
right.
rather than just blowing it off, rather than just saying this teacher doesn't know what they're talking about, right? The more that you can ask questions and be curious and get information, then you can kind of get to the bottom of what's actually happening and make a plan together.
So right. you're going to have a better school year regardless if you just show your teacher support from the beginning.
Yes.
So back to school is immediately having parents, especially dads who are not really present most of the time with their, you know, child's care with the teacher yep. to kind of step up and like just throw out that email. Is
then
that going to be, does that help out the wife? Like for us dads, does that help out the ease of like your wife having, because it feels like the moms, they run the show. They run the household. They get the kids out the door. They get them dressed. They get them fed most of the time. You know, then dads are running in and out. You're coming back from pickleball.
Well, Tommy, you got to go back to the last episode we had
right.
together where I said,
I know.
You got to say, right?
How do you want this day to go? Exactly.
Right. How do you want me to support you in during the school year? Right. You're busy working. I'm busy working. Like Mike and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago because my school year is ramping up and I have, you know, a very large team this year. And he said, how do you want this to go? And I said, I can't do dinner anymore. And he said, what do you mean you can't do dinner anymore? And I said, Monday through Thursday, you need to cook. I'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But my busiest days are my busiest times are the after school hours when all of my teachers aren't teaching anymore so that I can support them, and I can't support them and make dinner at the same time.
Sure.
So we sat down and he and I and the kids together made a spreadsheet of like 30-minute meals, 45-minute meals, hour, project, whatnot. And so now he's doing the grocery shopping and
he's got a lot of fish.
He loves Costco.
A lot of fish tacos.
I mean,
right?
I noticed, I don't know, one of the first times I came over to your house, you had the meal calendar on the fridge.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was brilliant and something I've always wanted to do. But it's basically like we know exactly what we're doing. And like, I love Mike. He's very handy. But you're obviously a better cook.
Thank you.
But it's also in a... It's set up in a situation where he basically can't fail, right?
And
so you're planning your meal. So you know, like, okay, we're having Tuesday tacos. We're having hot dogs and burgers on Wednesday. All that stuff.
So I'll go to the schedule, right? And I know that, so my kids have swimming a couple of days a week, and I know that we need something fast,
right?
So then we'll plan out something fast on those two nights. If I know that on Saturday night we've got nothing and I can make a big batch of something for the freezer, then I'll do that on Saturday night, right? So we think about what's going on that day, whether we pull something from the freezer, whatever, and then make a list from Sunday through Saturday. What are we going to eat?
Okay.
You know, knowing what's in the freezer, knowing what's in the refrigerator for leftovers. You know, we always plan a couple of leftover days. We always have one lunch out or dinner out a weekend.
Do you have a whiteboard on your fridge
mm-hmm.
that you like a magnet one you can
yep.
keep on erasing?
Exactly.
So I have them in my office,
yep.
but not like...
We got one here in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like those are great. So like literally start using them so the kids can see them. They're involved where they can take on some responsibility of themselves knowing that like I got soccer right now.
Yeah.
I need a snack or I got to get something healthy. And then you can see where
mm-hmm.
it's just going to be, it just gets, makes our life easier.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you have, I was thinking about this today with the boy is very picky. You're mapping out your meals. So that makes it easier. But then also you're making sure you're not really having a day where the kids know what they're going to get. And they're like, I don't want to eat that.
Right.
You know, they know like, oh, this will be cool. And maybe you discuss it on Sunday and like, look, I've had that 6 weeks in a row. I don't want it anymore. Like,
if I know, because... Dinner is 75% for us.
Yeah.
You know, we've got 3 out of the 4 people that will eat whatever we make on an evening basis. There's very few things that all 4 of us will eat. And so if I know that there's something that a particular person won't like, I'll put that the day after something that I know that there's going to be leftovers. So if that person doesn't want to eat the dinner, they get to go to the fridge themselves and just heat up whatever
leftovers, you got
this
dialed in.
Right? So that they can have that.
Hmm. Food is a big one, and I know the way you nourish your kids is the way they're going to see them acting. So if they're all of a sudden they're getting to this, it's like, well, then what are you feeding them sugar-wise, like drink-wise? Is that Gatorade, you know, don't have them have a Gatorade all the time. Don't let them, like, we don't like sodas in the house, really.
Same.
So do you have soda in your house for the kids?
Or
is it a treat? Or do
you know, they don't really like carbonation. Like
That's great.
Jack doesn't like carbonated beverages, so he... really likes vitamin waters, like the vitamin water zeros.
I love those as well.
I feel like we were the Coca-Cola generation.
Yeah, we drink more lemonade than soda. They don't really ask for soda or bubbly
kids love
water
lemonade.
Or anything like that. Sometimes, especially, we had some homemade root beer. When we were in Montana this summer, there was, on the 4th of July, the Fire Rangers had a big fundraiser, and they made their own root beer.
Nice.
And so we had some root
beer with sarsaparilla root and everything?
Exactly. Yeah. And they used dry ice to
carbonation.
Yeah. To
the Amish.
That's crazy that you bring that up, because I was on the internet for 4 hours this weekend, because Vetter loves root beer, but most of the stuff you buy is just 70 pounds of garbage and a bunch of sugar and all this stuff. So I think I'm going to make my own, but I got to go to this herb place down in Long Beach to get sassafras and sarsaparilla and then like ale yeast, and then I got to find dry ice somehow, which I could probably talk to the fisherman guys.
I think you should just make your menu and not make your root beer.
Don't
just make your food menu.
Them's fighting words.
Okay,
I'm making
cool.
root beer and it's going to be awesome. And you can't have any.
I'll try some. And I'll eat the enamel off my teeth, like the Coca-Cola does.
I'm looking for acid in there.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so what do we have? Anything to worry about? Like any early signs to worry about when our kids are coming home from school? Besides the restraint collapse.
RC. It's really hard when your kids come home and they say stuff that's like troubling. Like they come home and they say, you know, so-and-so doesn't like me, or I don't have any friends, or, you know, my teacher hates me, right? Like they come home and they say these things, and our first reaction is to automatically like shoot it down. You know, of course you have friends. This person likes you. This person likes you. Of course your teacher doesn't hate you. Like we want to just turn it around and not deal with it, right? What the kids hear when we do something like that is that adults can't be trusted. I can't come to my people with things that are bothering me. They don't listen to what I'm saying, right? So when our kids come to us with things that are troubling them, again, stay curious, ask questions, tell me more about that, right? Affirm what they are hearing. That sounds really hard. Can you say, like, what happened today that made you think that, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Can you give me an example? You know, if we affirm and listen and empathize, then they're going to tell us more. And it may not be about the thing that they actually came to us about. It might be something else, right?
Do we thank them for telling us that?
Of course. Like, thank you for sharing that with me. That sounds really hard. And then if you just say that, it'll give them more chance to talk, right? And then you can ask open-ended follow-up questions. Can you tell me a little bit more about what happened today on the playground with this person? Or can you tell me about a time when your teacher said or did something that, you know, made you feel like they didn't like you, right? But again, it's about connection, listening to them, affirming what they're saying, not completely shooting it down and saying, oh, that's silly. Of course you have friends, right? And then change the subject, because then they won't come to you with those other things later on. All the foundation that we're building for communication with our kids now will help us when we get to the teen years, right? Because that's going to be hard for them to communicate those big things. So if they feel safe enough to communicate the little things and know that they're going to feel listened to, that they're going to feel affirmed, that they're going to feel supported, then hopefully they'll come to us later when the issues get even bigger, right?
Yeah. That's great. I remember my mom, I would get bullied. And she loved me, and she would just, you know, she felt bad. And then she would say, like, well, those kids are, like, really insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, that's great. That's not helping me out in this particular situation.
Right. It didn't make you feel
like
she actually heard and understood and empathized with what you were saying. And what you took away from that conversation is, I can't trust adults to share my feelings. Adults don't believe me.
Yeah.
It's great advice, Sarah. This is awesome.
Love you, Mom.
So before we go.
Yeah.
I want to make a little plug to your audience for an organization that does a lot for teachers, especially in Los Angeles. There's an organization called Donors Choose. So it's donorschoose.org. And teachers that are under-resourced in communities that need additional support will go to this website and put together a wish list of things they need for their classrooms. And then you can go to that website and click on a teacher's list and donate whatever monetary funds you
want
to donate.
Yeah.
And so if you donate and you donate and you donate, then Donors Choose puts it all together. And then when that list gets funded, everything gets sent to the teachers. And then the teacher sends you a little thank you note.
Is this nationwide?
Nationwide. In the month, I shouldn't say in the month, during Labor Day, Donors Choose will double, they will match whatever you donate. And many companies will also do matching funds for their charity. So if you donate $20 and then your company matches it, and then during Labor Day weekend, your Donors Choose will then match that.
Wow.
You're getting an incredible amount of
yeah.
money. So in our community, you know, we are so privileged to have a lot of extra resources that we like to donate to schools. And I would just ask if people could go on to Donors Choose and pick, you know, schools in Los Angeles and our greater community
yeah.
in South LA and East LA, downtown. Those teachers really do need lots of things for kids.
And we did a couple years in a row, Facebook, when I was a client, which our Christmas gift was like $200 card for Donors mm-hmm. Choose, and then you could go like pick the classroom.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And then you could, I'd say, I'm going to apply it to this school in Lawndale.
Yeah.
And then the teacher would keep you updated on mm-hmm. what they were doing, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
that is great.
DonorsChoose.org.
It's a nationwide charity, people.
Yep.
And as we all know, teachers are always going out of their own pocket, into their own pocket for their classrooms, trying to make it what they always want it to be. So we all have a soft spot. My mom was a kindergarten teacher that started nursery school. So coming from matriarch family that, you know, was extremely successful in starting nursery schools, she started out as a kindergarten teacher, and I know the amount of arts and crafts budget that she went into her own pocket on. So please, everyone, if you do have a chance, please go to donorschoose.org. Give out $20 instead of four-pack of tall boys from Allagash White.
Wait, just give it. Why don't I do both?
You
or
know what?
What
that's
the,
a good
What dad. If the teacher requested a four-pack of Allagash? Like, these kids never shut up. I need some beer.
You could probably do that outside of Donors Org.
Yeah, they probably have some
DonorsChoose.org.
Yeah, yeah.
You can listen to Dad's Night Podcast.
You also can donate to the Dad's Night Podcast. We'll take it right to these
great,
teachers
Sarah.
Who need beer. Yeah.
Friends of the pod.
Oh, this is
man.
One of my favorites. We have a friend of the pod here. I love when we have a friend of the pod here.
We have not only
I'm waiting for
the
my
friend
swag.
Of the pod
yeah.
over here. So our friends of the pod shout out, brought to you by the one and only Brooke Billings Homes. Looking for a house to buy or sell Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, or anywhere in the South Bay? Look no further than the one and only Brooke Billings. He gets results, folks. Okay? So, Brooke, thank you so much for sponsoring this section. I got a big shout out. My boy Jack Coleman in Medina, Ohio,
ooh.
Is sending us out for an upcoming pod, 12 mustards
oh.
that you can only get in the Midwest.
This is going to be huge.
It's a huge one.
Oh.
So I sent to Chris.
You got to post a picture of these.
When we get our tasting okay. of the mustard. So I got Stadium Mustard, Bertman's Mustard coming in. I have mustards you get only in Minnesota and only in Michigan. And Ohio coming
like
out
I
to us.
I need to make you some homemade pretzels for this mustard taste.
I'm telling you. So very excited about this. We're gonna get some either sausages or hot dogs and cut them up into like little one-bite things. So we're going to have that on the pod coming up. We're going to do a mustard off.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, so we're going to have some mustard to eat and taste on the next couple come. Jack, thank you so much for shopping and thinking of us on Dad's Night. We appreciate that. Jack Coleman, huge FOP.
Huge
Who do you
FOP.
Have to shout out to?
I've got
Chris?
A few. Can I go?
Go, buddy.
Well, obviously, I'm going to call out the birthday boy today, purveyor of some of the sweetest lemons in town, Mark Montpaul.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mark. The big 5'6", I believe.
Nice, 57.
Big shout out to my friend of the pod, Todd Eichner, T-Bone, who hooked me up with, I took my son to his first Cowboys game on Saturday.
Nice, Todd, T-Money.
And it was not a debacle. He's got Chargers front row seats, took the boy. We had two return touchdowns, only 8 penalties for the Cowboys.
That's great.
Another mediocre year coming up, so
hey,
better enjoyed that.
That's awesome.
Big friend of the pod, shout out to your slightly worse half, Mike Kersey. Came
Love
over
Mike.
Last week, so... Amy wants to put a swing on the front porch, and there's this metal railing, so half of it I can unscrew, and the other half is in the concrete, so I got to sawzall this thing. You know what a sawzall is?
Mike does.
Okay, Mike does.
Okay.
So I called my consigliere. He comes over with the Sawzall, but he's like, for your benefit, I'm going to have you do it just in case Amy's watching. I fucking cut through metal, dude. It was hot.
You felt like a man.
I felt
like a man. You need to put the picture on the Insta page.
Yeah, I don't know
if the picture's attractive. I mean, you can see the rippling muscles, but also my head looking like this thing's about to blow up.
Mike and then loves to not only come over and be the ultimate handyman friend, but he also wants to like teach you. And at some points, I'm like, Mike, I don't even want to learn this.
No. Just that's why you're here.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Like, fix my shower. I don't know what's going on over here.
Change my light bulb.
I sawed it off. He had a brand new blade. I ruined it. Gave him a couple of Ranyes. He was happy.
Yeah.
And then final FOP shout out this week, my buddy Lou Young in Livonia, Michigan.
Yeah.
Longtime friend, USC, not grad, but he lived out here for a while.
Nice.
And he's been traveling around, listening to the pod while working with investors in Michigan. Big fan.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, we thank you to all of our FOPs. Thank out. You can do whatever you want. Just thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks to all of our FOPs all around the country. Keep on listening. Keep on, you know, sending us texts about, you know, I think the big thing is that everyone's really resonating to the dad factor. And I think that, Sarah, what you added today is just giving us little tips and tricks. Oh, that's a good one. If there's one thing that sticks with you from our podcast that helps you become a better dad, we did our job.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so we appreciate you guys listening and your constant support. And Sarah, you're the ultimate FOP, and
Thank you
always try to make us better dads. And going back to my last teaser, we have to take care of ourselves here, don't we?
Yes.
So we should be looking out for some things now. I'm turning 50 in about another year and a half. I got my colonoscopy.
Oh, did you? How'd that go?
Better
it wasn't
than
a
yours.
Doctor, was it? Yeah.
Better than yours,
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
But we got to get them. So if you're getting over 45, you haven't got it yet, you're approaching 50, get your colonoscopy.
Sarah's honored right now.
You're
going to
lose
honored.
5 pounds at least. And
fit into those skinny jeans.
You're going to fit in those skinny jeans and some Vioris. And let me tell you, do it, because you got to take care of yourself, and prostate cancer comes up really quick.
We should expound on this if we're going to do this instead of just kind of throwing it at the end of...
Well, I mean, like, Sarah, what else should we be
looking
at?
She's a PhD.
I'm not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
Not a medical
doctor.
I'm
the other kind of doctor.
Might as well have Dr. Dre in here.
Tell your wife
you
love her. You hug her. Ask her, how do you want today to go? Yeah.
My main profound takeaway was just the 30-second, 30-second.
Sorry, I didn't know Chris Parrish invited me for pickleball today. But I'll let you know.
This is
a
thing now. Can you want me to talk about pickleball a little bit?
The boom of pickleball?
No, I didn't play today.
Okay. But anyway, Sarah, is there anything else? Any final parting words for us?
Any thoughts about colons?
Besides getting soft Charmin. Not extra strength, just extra soft.
Uh-oh, I'm going into producer mode right now.
Oh, here we go. He's got his pen out here.
You guys are a good time. Is
that the red one? You're giving me red notes on
this
one now?
No, I'm using blue. No. You got red up here for cough, but that was me.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, Sarah.
And Chris, where can you find us?
So you can find us on Instagram at Dad's Night Podcast. You can also email us dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com. And you can go to believe.com/dadsnightpodcast. That's where you'll find us on the Believe Network, Tommy.
That's right. And guys, thanks for taking time to listen to Dad's Night Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network. Please like and share it with a friend or two. And thank you for following us on Instagram. And we appreciate you guys so much. Have a great back-to-school season, everyone.